You're not allowed to clap.
That's why I didn't. I just wanted to be a part of it. So I just, a few inches.
You're not allowed to clap.
Fine.
Yeah. As far as working with young kids, it's what you find. You're finally getting what you deserve, Brian.
In my career,
he deserves good things.
He's like, I've worked to do this, asshole.
I mean, it's Brian's fucking story, but I'm gonna tell it anyways because it's my goddamn show. And when we were in high school, he worked at the teen club on base, and he's always worked for child youth services, like youth centers and things like that, where he lives, and he's done a whole bunch of stuff. But like he was saying before we got on air, he's been lucky and mostly had like the middle. The middle schoolers into some teenagers, and finally he's having to deal with like some snot-nosed like 7-year-old running around like a banshee.
To be fair, I would rather deal with snot-nosed little kids than middle schoolers. Middle schoolers are the worst.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because they think they're cool and they're dicks. No.
It's very much based on the age. Like, I find the most difficult group is sixth graders.
Yeah.
Hands down, across the board. So your sixth graders are the most difficult. Once they get into like the seventh and eighth, completely different story. But no, that sixth grade age, about 12, 13.
Yeah.
Is that because they're kind of like in between that elementary, immature, and growing up stuff?
And there's a lot of transitions as far as their schooling and just the whole process.
Their bodies are changing.
And all that.
They're falling in and
so
out
a lot
of
to
their
look
groups.
Forward to.
Yeah, it's a rough group. I find some people are different. For me, kindergarten, first grade is easier for me. I know some people that's the complete opposite. It just depends. But
complete opposite. I've learned with this quarantine, I do not like teaching. I hate it. My brain feels like pudding, having to argue with my kid over the most basic stuff. So...
Well, to be fair, I think I would like teaching adults. I don't think I'd like teaching kids.
Well, you see, with the kids, especially if you've had pets, you can fit the kids in the cages.
Where's this going?
The leftover cage. I know, Jammer. I know you hate Scrubs, but I'm going to bring up one of my favorite bits from it. One of the couples is about to have a kid, and the janitor gives them a freaking kennel as a gift, and they're like, "Oh, is this for when we get the baby a puppy?" He's like, "No, it's what's he call it?
It's a baby cage.
It's a baby cage."
Yeah, sounds about right. I feel bad because when I talk to kids, I talk to them like I talk to my cats, and I'm like, I should probably stop doing that.
Yeah, I honestly try to talk to them like almost like they're an adult.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's what I want to do, but you know, it's just hard sometimes. It's just like instinct. It's like a little thing, and you just start talking to it like a little thing.
Used to do with preschoolers, I used to teach STEM classes, and that's tough because just...
What the...
That's tough.
That reminds me of Men in Black when he shoots the little girl with the theoretical physics books. Like, what are you doing teaching STEM to 4-year-olds?
Well, yeah, he passed it, or he passed the test.
That's right.
Oh my God. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the 1-year celebration of LR Mornings. I'll just introduce everybody here with Kyle, Jammer, Brian, and Christine. And also we're apparently talking child care and development today.
Yeah, this was an odd intro, I will say. Probably one of the most alienating intros for our 1-year anniversary.
Oh my God.
It's teaching people now, like, do you want kids or not? So yeah,
we're preparing the next group of geeky parents to be prepared.
So throw your kid in a cage.
Throw your kid in a cage. It works for it, but you got to do it like a dog. You got to make sure that you only leave them enough space that they don't like pee there in the cage. I'm joking. We had with our dog, not with our kid. We had to learn that you have to put dogs like in when you're kennel training them, like you have to limit their space. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they'll like poop or pee in the furthest corner from where they're sleeping, and it becomes hard to like train them.
We took our dog on a trip, and we kept asking our cousin. He was just like, "Hey, how's he doing back there?" And he was in the bed of the truck in the kennel, and it was tied down. And he's like, "Oh yeah, he's totally fine." We come out, there's shit all over the walls of the thing, and we're like, "What the hell?" He was like making a fucking painting, and you're just like, "Oh no, he's fine."
It's horrible.
Yeah, it was awful. We had to clean it. It was terrible.
How big's your dog?
He was like a medium-sized dog. I think he was like 70 pounds.
Jesus, that's not...
No, wait.
Medium, that's large. A lot
of or maybe 50. That's I don't remember. Terrible. He's actually... Yeah,
50 pound is like the large dog marker.
This was like 15 years ago, and he passed away a couple years ago. He was like 17 years old, and that was when he was probably two or three. So...
Oh, okay.
He had a good run.
Well, that's cool.
So yeah, my point is I don't remember because it was a long ass time ago. That was the point of that.
Well, being that it's the 1 year anniversary, I wanted to bring everybody that's been a part of this show on, and of course say thanks for putting up with me and the crazy antics such as speaking of dog feces and child care development. As well as thanking Jammer for the opportunity to try a daily or a weekday show for the website, which I think has done quite well, but been a shit ton of fun.
So. Yeah, I think I definitely was something that was on my mind for a good while, but I just didn't have the capacity to do it. And then when you said, "Hey, I want to do this," and I was like, "If you can like take care of the editing and the posting, I'm down." And so that's what we did. And it's been a great run. I think it's a lot of fun. I think we have a lot of years ahead of us, hopefully.
Yep. Very, very, very kind words. Brian, when I first brought you onto the show, man, or when I first told you about the show and then when I brought you on, what'd you think and how have you enjoyed being on it?
I've enjoyed it. When you initially told me, I thought it was very ambitious, you know, trying to run a, you know, 5 day a week.
Yeah.
That show, you know, I was like, well, are you sure? That's something you want to try? But no, as far as doing it, no, it's a blast, you know, sit down with a friend or more, you know, others and shoot the shit about things we enjoy, you know.
I will say there has been a slightly quote unquote negative aspect to the show, but it's don't worry, it's a good thing in the end. That it does kind of limit my capacity at the end of the week to do something like Los Fanboys, which is, you know, sort of a new show because throughout the week we cover it. You know, through the LR Morning stuff. But ultimately, I think that makes the site overall stronger and sort of the podcast network stronger because you're getting reactions right away. You don't have to wait a full week for it. And I think I feel comfortable saying it here. For the time being, for the foreseeable future, I think Los Fanboys is kind of going to be on ice for a bit. I know we experimented with some live stream stuff, but I don't think it's going to work out. But luckily, I think that opens me up for some other exciting possibilities, which we have down the line. I'm pretty sure Los Fanboys will come back at some point. But just for the time being, I think given the current capacity I have, given how LR Mornings is kind of structured and shakes out, I think it just makes more sense to just kind of let that one lie for a bit, but it'll be back. So yeah, you've effectively kind of replaced Los Fanboys. So congratulations, Kyle.
Kyle Malone, podcast killer. Christine, you're my wife. I dragged you into this kicking and screaming on a night that, or not a night, but a morning. Damn it, I did it. morning that Brian and Jammer weren't involved. How have you enjoyed it? And how have you enjoyed being here?
I eventually enjoyed it. At first, I was like, "Oh crap, I don't know how this is gonna go." I'm not a social butterfly, so it was just kind of like it made me a little nervous. But I actually miss it. Where the hell have I been?
That's a good question. Is there any good reason why she hasn't been on recently?
Mostly our kid.
No, yeah. I said a good reason.
Oh. Okay. Hold on. I'm gonna go get Lucas, and I need you.
I'm
to
kidding.
Tell him
he's
to
awesome.
F off.
He's totally fine. I've never met him, but I'm assuming he's a delight.
I've been saying Christine should come back. She joined us for another four-way conversation with my sister.
Yeah, I like that episode. We need to do that
female.
More.
That was a
yeah,
good
some
episode.
Female geeky stuff. Yeah, Brian. Brian has the wrong pieces to have been on that show. We already had too many pieces, and no, I'm joking. That's a horrible, horrible joke. Yeah, but no, Jammer had expressed some interest in possibly getting Courtney, Christine, and maybe like Tanya or something together, and let all the females have an LR Mornings episode, which I'm totally against. I mean, I'm down for. So
that would still be a good one. That would still be a good thing to have. Yeah.
Yeah. No. No. I'm down with the idea. I absolutely am. That's like my favorite thing about this show. It is the laid back format. The fact that we can joke around so much. Yeah. Sometimes there's a lot of like really really important things to cover. Like. For example, we might get to make some comments. The fact that Ruby Rose is leaving Batwoman.
Came
she's
out
not
of nowhere.
Return for second season. And LR Mornings offers us the chance to... you can only do so much with writing a piece. And when you can have a conversation with somebody else who may approach any topic, including that one, from a different point of view or with different... knowledge that they read from other sources or whatever the case may be. It's great. I love that aspect about the show, but I love just how much fun we all have. Mm-hmm. Jammer, what is your absolute like favorite topic? Like, I mean, like MCU, Star Wars, video games, anime. Like, what's your favorite like overarching topic of news to discuss here on LR Mornings?
So I'm torn. I mean, I think Star Wars is the easy one because it's completely effortless to have a 30-minute conversation about Star Wars. It's you really have to put no effort into it, and it just happens. And then it's like, oh shit, the episode's done. Whoops. So I mean, as far as ease go, I think Star Wars is. But I also don't talk about anime and video games with a lot of people. So I think I do really appreciate those conversations I have with you on the show. And at times, we probably spend more time talking about it than we probably should. There probably is interest in our audience. But it's just, it's a lot of fun just talk about it. And so, yeah, I think those are the two that I enjoy maybe the most.
Well, hopefully it's led somebody to go, well, shit.
I'm sure.
Kyle and Jammer, and I like anime, but I've never seen X show. So let me go check it out because they both seemed to rave about it. Dr. Stone supposedly returning in July.
Hopefully,
Christine. Hopefully, what's been your favorite thing to talk about?
Oh wow. I'm not really good on favorites. In fact, when we do ranks, it takes me like all day to actually come up with a list. And then there's been times when I've come up with a list, and then like we put it off. And then when I try to redo it, it's like I'm always trying to fix it. So it's hard to pick something that is a favorite. Probably Marvel, because
okay.
Yeah, we just enjoy that so much. So yeah, I'm gonna say Marvel.
Brian,
anything, you know me. I really do enjoy though when you'll text me and sort of say, hey, this is roughly what I want to talk about, and you may have like three or four things, and we start on the first one, and then we just talk about that for like 40 minutes. That's happened. Yep. That's happened several times. But I like I don't even remember how long. A couple of weeks back, it turned into talking about movies. I don't even remember what the initial conversation was, but then we started talking about Nicolas Cage. I think it was the Tiger King stuff. And then we dove into like the Hong Kong films of John Woo, and it went crazy. It just went in all kinds of directions.
I think we were talking about Ghost Rider film again.
That was it.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah. And then we got into a whole conversation about how Nicolas Cage is not as bad an actor as people think he is. Like he actually has a really good filmography.
Yeah, and then that spun
into...
It's
just been a few years.
Yeah, and then that went into... Yeah, because we talked about Face Off and then John Woo, and then that led us to the Hong Kong action films of the 80s and Quentin Tarantino inspiration, and then just went Yeah.
I mean, we can't forget Nicolas Cage. Didn't he win an Oscar?
Yes, we had to research that. Brian, yeah. Do you remember what it was for?
I don't. He won like a Golden Globe and like an Oscar. Yeah. When you go back to his 90s era, yeah, he was, I mean, he was the darling of Hollywood for a minute there. It wasn't until the recent.
Con Air.
I love Con Air. It was recent years when, you know, he ran into his financial issues and then he just started taking any and every job imaginable. And that's, I think, where his recent reputation comes from. But. Now, you remember, yeah. I mean, even National Treasure, you know, those were, you know, well-received films. They did well. They were, you know, actioneers that family-friendly and everything.
I love National Treasure so much.
Yes, yes. So Brian, it was Leaving Las Vegas, by the way, Best Actor in 1996, and he was nominated for Best Actor in 2003's Adaptation. So... Brian, excuse me. See, I do get gassy. Diet drinks are like the worst for burps, man. I tell you what, I say it all the time.
Anything bubbly.
Yeah, Jammer is exactly like I am with both indie and National Treasure. So you go ahead and you tear him the same asshole you tore me and ask him.
Listen,
what are you asking?
I was very kind to you, if I recall.
I know
it was more. It was more so puzzlement. You know that you love National Treasure so much that you make it a thing you watch annually, mm-hmm. and yet you don't care about the Indiana Jones films. And I just was like, what about one is different than the other, or what is it about indie that just turns you off as far as making it something that, you know, you want to spend any time with?
I mean, I guess it's just all about, I mean, this is, it's kind of a cop-out. It's about style and tone, maybe. They're directed very differently. They don't feel the same. Yeah, they're adventure, but one is kind of more about riddles and puzzles and history, and another one is more about just high adventure. And yeah, no, just the filmmaking is more standard in indie. There is something a little bit more kinetic and modern about National Treasure, just the way it's done. And also just nostalgia, maybe. Like when you experience it, how often you experience it just shapes that in some way. I don't think they're very comparable. But I don't hate indie. I'm just like Kyle a little bit. Yeah, I think it's fine. I like the first and third one. I don't like the second one. But I don't hold them up as sort of pantheons of amazing filmmaking. They're fun, but I don't know. I guess when I see people say like, oh, Steven Spielberg's so great, especially his old stuff, I'm like, yes, I loved his old stories for sure. But I'm not sure. I don't know. There's nothing special about his directing because it's become so standard. And, you know, obviously that's just because it's been replicated so much. But I don't know. That just became a long tangent about nothing.
Yeah, it did.
Well, that was interesting. The idea that Spielberg to you has become such sort of, I guess, emulated over a couple decades. That
he's almost the standard. Like you kind of expect a lot of the things he introduced and standardized, and like it's no longer special. So therefore, it no longer feels like he was very special, even though he totally is and deserves you know everything all the celebration he gets. It just doesn't pique my interest as much. I grew up with his movies, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm weird. I'm very quick to move on. Like, I don't look back a lot of times. I usually is like, yeah, I love Star Wars. Yes, I love those when I was younger, but I tend to be relatively okay at shaking off the nostalgia and saying, yeah, Empire Strikes Back is kind of boring. That is what it is. That's what I feel. I don't care, even though I loved it a lot. You know, things like that. I just don't care as much. Like, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm all over the place today, guys.
No. I kind of get what you're saying with Spielberg. I mean, shit, he's constantly replicated in things like that show,
Stranger Things.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's. I kind of get what Jammer's saying. Christine likes both of them, right?
Yes.
Like you. Unlike me and Jammer, who kind of nothing indie, you actually, you brought...
That's my childhood right there.
Yeah, you brought the DVDs into our marriage, so...
Yes.
Which one do you like better? Indie or National Treasure? Not counting... You notice nobody here has mentioned Crystal Skull.
What's that?
Well, no one counts Crystal Skull.
Probably indie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're split here, so Jammer, I need you to take a flight to where Brian is, and you fight him, and I'm going to fight my wife. And
so, Brian, are you big or muscular?
No.
Okay.
Brian once trained for
the
UFC.
I did. Well, that was years ago.
Yeah. Oh, that means he still knows shit. Never mind. I concede.
Sorry, took me a second to get that drink down.
Yeah, I was please like, don't choke on it.
I was looking at my wife's water cup like that's about to become a receptacle for my Dr. Pepper.
Don't you dare.
Oh my God. I just love like strange topics. Anytime something weird comes up and anything that allows us to... I'm kind of like Jammer. Jammer's really, really big on when we have no plan coming into the
show. Yes, that is one of my best... actually, I was going to say that's one of my favorite things is because when it starts to become super structured, it's like, I feel like it's work. But when it's just kind of a conversation, it's not as much. And I feel like it's pretty easy, you know, just come in with like, okay, maybe one or two things we could talk about. Start with a more interesting one and kind of see where it takes you. That's my favorite thing, like, because you're allowed to... That's what Los Fanboys didn't allow me to do. It was sort of... just freaking stream of consciousness, just have a conversation, just talk like that. And
yeah,
I think that's one of the joys of this is being able to go off into a random tangent about Steven Spielberg's directing style in such vague terms. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, you guys had one, I don't even remember how long ago this was, y'all got on the topic of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I think.
That's because I've been playing that. I actually want to revisit that shit, just a heads up. Like, because the new one's coming out. This coming out.
Yeah, you're going to get that.
Yeah, getting that home. Getting that, and I'm also going to... I think I'm in a new game plus Xenoblade Chronicles 2 at some point.
It made me look up the game. Like, I actually, after hearing y'all talk about it, I was like, I want to check it out. I haven't gotten it yet. I know the first one, is getting the remaster or whatever. But
yeah, I haven't played it myself, so I don't know much about that. But I just remember being pleasantly surprised with Xenoblade. Not just it's kind of a messy game. It's kind of ridiculous. Like it's very padded with the content it has. It has a lot of fetch quests. It is. There's too much in it. There's too many things to do to the point where it's exhausting. And the story itself is kind of nonsense and super anime, but like just something about it just really clicks really well, where it's the perfect amount of mindless slash engaging in terms of its game mechanics, that it's like the perfect couch thing when you're just kind of doing something else but also playing it. So I think it brings that to the table, which I think is very nice.
No, video games is a good thing to kind of get another favorites thing kind of going. Jammer, what overall has been like either your if you could pick one game or a game series, what's your favorite, man?
My favorite overall game series?
Yeah, or one particular if you have a solid one where you're like, no, this is fucking it.
I'm torn between Zelda and Metroid. Both are really good, but both are very different.
Classic or Prime?
Prime probably. I mean, altogether, yes, but I think I like Prime a lot. Overall, maybe not as much because I don't like the first one. Actually, I guess the first one's the only one I don't like. Okay, so they're all pretty good. I don't like the first one. Fuck that game. I like Zero Mission though, and I like the second one I played on Game Boy back in the day. I guess I'd have to go Zelda, though, just because of how influential it is on many levels, based on, you know, adventure and puzzles. And I'll always go back to Zelda. So, yes.
Brian?
I don't know, man. We've talked about several. I love BioShock, but Metal Gear Solid's one of the big franchises that I've invested a lot of time into. Zelda, obviously, I've played all those. So,
I heard Skyward Sword is your favorite.
I hate that game, man. I would love for them to remake it without those controls. If they put it out on the Switch, I'd be all about it. But it was the control scheme that irritated
me. I think that might be the only one I didn't play because I was away in college and I didn't have the Wii. And when I visited my parents for like Christmas vacation, they had it and I got Skyward Sword. I played for like 15 hours And then I left. Then they moved. Then they lost the Wii. And so I never played it again. That's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Christine, you got a favorite game or game series you like?
I'm going to say with series, I'm going to say Final Fantasy. As far as like picking a favorite, it's... that's really hard. The first one I played was 12, but I'm not going to call it a favorite because Vaughn is just that annoying.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Which Zodiac Age makes a little bit better.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll keep it vague because it's hard to pick just one because there's so many great ones.
Yeah, I can pick one. Does anyone care to guess what Kyle's favorite game of all time is?
No.
Brian knows it.
Dig Dug.
Yes, motherfucker, that game is the shit. Doug is like outnumbered and he's underground for Christ's sake and you've got to deal with horrible music. What a challenge. No.
Obviously.
I have since 1998 played Final Fantasy VII basically yearly.
God, that's fucked up.
It goes with me on all of my deployments. I've played through it at least once through each deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay, I gotta ask a question. How does that shit work?
What's that?
How do you play video games in Afghanistan? What the hell is... I don't understand. Because
it's on my PSP.
No. Okay. Because the civilian over here has no idea how that works. How you're able to play video games out there when you're so, fighting and shit.
It got a little more comfortable.
Yeah. As time went by. Like. 05, 06, in Iraq, I was out and about a lot more, less personal time. My living conditions, however, when I was like at our base, were pretty posh compared to some people because
they glamping?
Were Saddam. Well, yeah, we were glamping in Iraq basically, but we stayed in what's used to be Saddam Hussein's Air Force Academy, like the cadre, the teachers' barracks. So where the teacher stayed at when before we destroyed his Air Force, we stayed in those. So we had like concrete rooms, air conditioning. So when I was at base, I lived relatively nicely. Afghanistan. Both times, sometimes I lived in tents that had like built floors, and we had space. Whoa. I mean, shit, we had people that brought projectors over and would play like Call of Duty Zombies on a giant projection screen when we were like in between shifts or off for the evening or whatever. Because I did a lot more. On base construction, so it was almost like 9 to 5. Well, it was more like 9 to 9, 12-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
But we got time, and I always have my PSP, and then I eventually got like a 3DS. But I play through Final Fantasy VII about once a year, including playing through a remake this year. And yes, I will get break out either the disc and put it on the PS3 or continue playing on my PSP or the PlayStation Network anyways. So that's what I do. Brian, favorite Star Wars movie?
You know, it changes constantly. it's been fluctuating. Over the last couple of years, it's been fluctuating between A New Hope and Jedi. I think A New Hope is the best script in Star Wars as far as beginning, middle, and end.
What?
Yeah.
No, I mean, think about it this way. I agree with you because Empire Strikes Back, everyone, like, they, like, fillet that thing to death, but it's not really, like, a complete story.
And that's exactly. As far as a beginning, middle, and end, you can go into that movie knowing nothing about it. You're going to have a ending. It's a solid script. And then Jedi
dialogue is not necessarily
solid, some of the dialogue's a little wonky, but as far as storytelling,
the structure,
Yeah, the structure is great. I mean,
you get the structure right, you get a lot of things right.
And another film that I think is great is the first Conan the Barbarian movie. I think that's a great, well-structured film. But Jedi has some of my favorite scenes. You know, we always talk about that. It has some of my absolute favorite scenes. I can't wait to see the thumbnail for this episode.
Oh, God. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Yeah, good luck. Just a birthday cake.
It's like a birthday cake. Yeah, I was thinking that too, like birthday cake. That's easy.
I'm
going to
cheat instead of covering all of the topics. Or I'm going to sucker people in and say it's all a discussion about Ruby Rose and Batwoman. No, that might not get enough people. Yeah, birthday cake. but the cake is a lie, damn it. I constantly go between Empire and Jedi. Jammer, you're going last. Christine, what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire.
Okay, Jammer, go ahead.
So I have a three-way straddle. It's a Mexican standoff between A New Hope, Empire, and The Last Jedi. Because The Last Jedi fucking rocks.
Dude, gun to your head. Literally, I've got a gun pointed to the microphone. Jedi. And no.
Okay, good. What were you going to say?
Oh, let me try to compose myself here. I was going to say, gun to your head, do you really believe what you've said on Slack that in 15, 20 years you think it's going to be looked back at as fondly as Empire?
I don't remember if I said Empire. I probably did. As fondly as Empire? I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, think about it this way. The prequels are getting, you know, people are loving the prequels now, and they're shit. So,
yeah.
That's true.
He does make a point. Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't know. Brian, what do you think about that statement?
We had this conversation recently. I said there's room for them to do, whether it's an animated show, live action, to what I would say, repair or fill in gaps, similar to how I think a lot of the love for the prequels comes from the Clone Wars cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have the nostalgia and the enjoyment of that cartoon has, you know, bled into how they view the prequels. I think you could do that with the or whatever you call the current trilogy.
Sequel trilogy.
There you go. S trilogy. I think that could happen too. I was saying I still like the character Rey. You know, I've said this before. I enjoy that character, and I think that you can do more with her. I hope they don't stop, whether it's in books, whether it's in animated form, whatever. I think you could do something there. And so, yeah, if you had a show or you did some different series, and I think you could build around that trilogy in 5-10 years from now, it might be looked at differently. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Shit, I lost my thought.
I do that a lot.
The more hits I take to the head, the more often it happens. Isn't that weird?
I have no excuse.
It's almost like there's a correlation. No, I was actually last week, me and Brian kind of got tired of talking about Star Wars.
It was every day. There was a new story.
It was always the same thing. Who's being cast in some fucking Mandalorian
season 2? Can we talk about this?
Or spin-off?
Hold on.
Spin-off.
Can we talk about this new news really quick? About
what's that?
El Mandy or El Mondo, whatever the fuck you call it.
Sure.
Boba Fett, right? That's the whole thing. I don't give a shit about Boba Fett. But like Boba Fett, you know, it was mentioned before that he's going to be back and Morrison's going to be back and playing and blah, 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 blah. But then some interesting news came today from Slash Film. They mentioned that Timothy Oliphant's character, Cobb Vanth, I think is his name, is actually going to be wearing Boba Fett's armor in it. And that it's unclear whether or not Morrison's actually going to be playing Boba Fett or if it's just going to be him in his armor. And the idea behind that, I guess it was mentioned in the Aftermath book, that he basically got his armor from a bunch of Jawas who scavenged it from the Sarlacc pit or around the Sarlacc pit area. And so it's unclear as to whether or not Boba Fett is alive. So on one hand, you have the possibility Boba Fett is dead, which I think is cool.
Right.
And on the other hand, you have the possibility that Boba Fett somehow maybe wants his armor back. And I think that's also kind of cool. So I don't know. It's interesting. It kind of has me excited.
Do you have an opinion on that one?
don't like Boba Fett. I want this to stop.
I don't either. Which is why I think it's kind of good. Like, if they decide, oh, he's dead, but we have this guy wearing the Boba Fett armor, you don't have to live up to that imagined Boba Fett badassery that never actually happened in the movies.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But you could still have the armor, and you could still have a cool character. But...
Yeah, it could still be kind of cool
if you know, what's his name, for some reason wants his armor back because it means something to him, and it could be like a whole separate arc about that, and maybe some sort of more interesting internal tormented journey for the character that I didn't expect coming. I think that could be cool as well, though I'd prefer the other one more.
Cool. What do you think, Brian? Which would you be down for?
Either of those would be interesting. Yeah, I like the idea of him being dead and somebody took his armor, or him trying to get it back. That was my biggest hope, is okay, if we're going to do this, let's do something creative with it. Let's just not have Boba Fett pop in and, you know, be cool, because that's all he, you know, that's the whole gimmick.
Good to me dead. That was the original voice.
So yeah, no, I hope it's something like that. That would be more interesting.
I just remember in the comments how I had to break it down to somebody that claimed to have seen the OT as kid, as being a kid. I too saw the OT as a kid before.
I hate when people do that shit. We were like, you're clearly not a fan. You didn't experience it as a kid. Like, yeah, everyone did. Everyone watched fucking Star Wars before they could speak. That's just the thing. You're not special because of it. Your opinion doesn't matter more because you saw it as a kid, because everyone did.
So I had to break it down. I was like, in Empire, he barely says anything, except for the first time we meet him, his one and only line in his first scene is "As you wish," when Vader says "No disintegrations." Then all we do is see him walk around a lot in Cloud City until he says, you know, he's no good to me dead. And then we see him walk away with Han Solo as stormtroopers defend him, getting on Slave One. He doesn't even like to defend himself, really. And so he does nothing for Empire. And then in Return of the Jedi, he stands around Jabba's palace, nods at Leia in Bawish disguise, and then gets his gun and his little lasso thing fucking cut by Luke Skywalker before dying like a bitch, hit in the jetpack by a blind Han Solo. And I don't even know if he actually has a line in Return of the Jedi.
No, I don't think he does.
I busted it all down like that to this guy, and he never responded to me because Boba Fett's not fucking cool in the OT.
Did they even mention his name in Empire? I know they mentioned it in Jedi. I don't remember him mentioning his name.
No, I don't think. I think he was actually mentioned first in the Star Wars Christmas special, which is where his character actually did debut.
Yeah, because that's the thing with me. Like, I remember as a kid, like, the only sign I had, because I never watched the holiday special as a kid, that you knew what his name was, is what's his name? Han going, Boba Fett. Boba Fett. Where? And then turning around. Yeah. Like that's it. That's all you have to work with.
He was a comic gag in Jedi and a back piece in Empire. Cool looking. I'll give you that. When you're young, Boba Fett does kind of look cool.
But I will say that is the power of fans. You know, they're able to take kernels. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say again. They're able to take rocks and sort of squeeze water out of them somehow. Like, they're able to take any little thing and expand on it in their heads and make it super badass in ways that you just would never expect. I know, like, the book series that I have, I've had some people write me and say, like, oh, what about this specific thing? And I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't think about that. But apparently it means the world to them. And it's just really interesting how literally if you just hint slightly at something, they will run with it.
The headcanon.
Yeah, the headcanon is powerful. And I don't want to shit on it, because the idea of it is super cool, and that's what makes stories so great, and that's why we love them so much. But when it comes to the point where you're being a dick about it, then it's just like, stop. Let it go. Like, let these other people create. And you can exist in your own headcanon. Don't push your own shit onto other people. I mean, yeah, you could talk about it, but don't be an asshole, I guess, what it comes down to. When it starts becoming a dick, then I don't like how your headcanon has affected you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming to Jammer's TED Talks.
Yes. I like that.
You know what's funny? I know somebody else that saw, I'm trying to put my finger on their name. They saw a character that looked cool in the promotions, but bought toys, posters. I don't know if they bought a shirt or not. And then that character turned out to be completely wasted. God, Brian, can you help me out? Who was that? I think we both know them.
I tell you what, they pulled that shit with Captain Phasma for me, because I thought Captain
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
Brian, super ready Brian for Captain Phasma stuff. Yeah, I did that too. I didn't buy a shirt. I just bought a pop figure or two and a couple other things. But like, I was ready.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But you always have to wait, in my opinion, because
You're right.
Jar Jar.
Yeah, you're right. Jar Jar. It's funny. I remember when I was a kid. My friend, he had one of these little Star Wars guidebooks that came up before the movie, and he was just like, I love Jar Jar. I'm like, how do you love Jar Jar? You don't even know anything about the character. Obviously, he was wrong, but it's just interesting how that works.
Oh, man. Well, I love having you guys on the show. I love doing this show, and if we all pretend to have alcoholic drinks, we can all pretend to toast to LR Mornings and to at least one more year, if not many, many more. So thank you guys. Thank you, Brian, Jammer, Christine. And of course, none of this is possible without all of you that click on the show every day or wait until the weekend and binge it. I wonder if anybody has ever done that, like binged a week.
I'm sure
of
they've
LR
done
Mornings
that. Oh, a full week. Maybe. I'm sure they have.
If you have, let us know in the comments below. But yes, we meet up every day for you guys. It's fun for us, but it is for you guys. And I appreciate everybody that listens, that comments, that is a part of this show. So I'm not going to spill you guys with the same old, same old. You know LRMonline.com. You know YouTube. You know the channel. Brian, Jammer, Christine, thank you guys so much. I will let you guys plug your stuff, though. So, Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of the stuffs at LRMonline.com.
For Brian, what do you do on the tube?
You can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos, PULPMYTHOS. That's one word. And currently doing movie reviews on Sunday nights.
I like that name. It's a good name.
You do. Yeah, it's a good name. You guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. If you wish to speak about how terrible Christine is, you'll have to do it in the comments because she refuses to get social media. So thank you guys so much for being a part of this. Here's to another year and many more. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yay!